Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And he loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening, praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back together on another rainy Thursday night in the metropolitan D.C. area. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, and we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, we back together and studying in chapter 17 of the book of Acts. And where we left off on last Thursday, we were talking about if it ain't one thing, it's another, and how Paul and Silas and Timothy were going about preaching the word of God. And as they went to preach the word of God, there were some folk in the minority, amen, that didn't like them preaching the word of God because it was taking the shine off of them and putting it on someone else, putting it on them. And so they were upset about this preaching of this Jesus who could save people from their sins by their faith in him, his death, burial, and resurrection. And so what that did was marginalize them, where they were no longer the it thing. They were no longer the ones, the authority. And so they were fighting against Paul and Silas, and Timothy come along that when they fought them, they were like, "Nah, we can't lose our position of authority. We can't lose our position of people looking up to us. So we got to stir up some folk. We got to create some riotous action to get these people out of here." And these were the people in Thessalonica. Now, the area that Paul and Silas were ministering to, it's in between modern-day Turkey and Italy on the Mediterranean, they're in the Mediterranean Sea that connects Eurasia and is on the other side of Northern Africa. And in that area, there's always turmoil. There's always religious ups and downs. And so the people in power, political power, religious power, they like to be in power. They like to be in authority. And if anything comes in to threaten them, they want to take over. Now the Jews were under Roman govern at that time, but they were allowed to practice their religion and live out peaceful lives. But when the word or the good news came, the Jews said, not only are we under the Roman oppression, but now we can be under this Christian oppression. So they're fighting back, and they're trying to use the Roman authority to throw these Christians out. So the Thessalonica folk, they some bad folk, man. They rough. And last week we saw how when Paul and Silas were leaving Thessalonica and going to Berea, that the Thessalonians chased them down. They chased them down from Thessalonica to Berea, and they started stirring up some more stuff. And we talked about on last week how when people can't get their way, they stir stuff up and they try to get other folks to buy into their conspiracy or whatever. And we use the example of January 6th, and even on Saturday, there's going to be another group of folk coming to the nation's capital to try to stir some more stuff up. But it's a thing of if we don't study the word, if we don't understand the word, if we don't get into the word of God, to realize people in the first century are just like people in the 21st century. And if you don't know the truth, if you don't get into understand the truth, then you can be led astray by any mob or conspiracy theorist that will lead you down the wrong track. Now, there's a lot of folks still in jail from this January 6th riot. And so some of the folk are going to look at this and say, I ain't going down there and getting that no more. But there's still going to be some folk that's going to come from all over the place again to get into this trouble, sort of like these Thessalonians are coming to Berea to try to stir up these folks to keep them from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping them in power. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were saying that, you were talking about it because they won't stand on the truth. And because they're not standing on the truth, they'll fall for anything. They don't have that knowledge to get to know themselves. So they are so jealous and so want to do away with Paul and Silas and so obsessed with power that they're missing out on the truth of the gospel. They're not even seeing why are these people being drawn to the Lord. They're seeing it as a threat and not recognizing that if they stand on the truth and that they really got to know it themselves, then they too could have that knowledge and have that peace. But they're just so, they don't have any peace. So they're so negative and demonic. And you look at it today, fast forward today, that January 6th was a mess, and they did not succeed, just like in this case. They didn't succeed. But here they're coming back on Saturday listening to the same lies because they're not standing on the truth. They're doing all rumors because what we were studying before, they stirred up a mob. So now a mob's being stirred up, but now what they're using instead of word of mouth is social media. And so as a matter of fact, they were saying that they had put people on alert here because FBI saw all these things circulating on social media. There's a big lie about they're actually coming for a rally for justice for those that did wrong. So it's not even like you're standing on the truth. You're falling for something that was awful and negative instead of trying to have peace in this world. Now, the leader of the J6 rally came out and said, it's going to be peaceful. It's going to be peaceful. Yet and still, they're circulating violence. And that's the case here. It's like if they really stopped and stood on the truth of the good news, they'd be converted. But they don't want to know the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They want their way as wrong as it is.
Amen. Amen. And as we look at Acts 17:10, where we left off, there's a part in here, Dr. G, in that Acts 17 verse 10, where It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. And it's key in verse 10. If I look at the NIV, it says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And the key is what I'm looking at is that they were working together for the same purpose. They were believers. They were brethren. And you know, I look at we as a culture, people of black folks, and you know, this recent thing of the hip hop culture folk were on this recently talking about the vaccine the riotous folks were trying to take the black folks culture and for their own means and drag them in and manipulate them, but they don't care anything about the black folk. They don't care about the culture of the black folk, the hip hop. They don't care. So they just want to use those characters or those standouts in hip hop culture to try to press forward their agenda. But they don't care nothing about them. But the thing is, we as black believers in Christ is not to turn against each other,
right,
but to educate each other and to support each other, hip hop, R&B, whatever it is, you know, even black people with country music, whatever, to all the genres that are out there, to say, hey, you know, don't turn on your brothers. Don't turn on the ones that have been in this struggle with you, that are trying to do things to help rise all of our boats. And don't get manipulated by these folk over here that are trying to use your culture, don't care anything about you, to promote their agenda. And so when it says the brethren sent them away, when it says the believers sent them away, in other words, they were together to promote the cause of Christ. They came together to say, hey, we know these Thessalonians are off the chain, but we're going to come together as believers in Christ, as brethren, to promote the good of the gospel. And you see so many churches, black churches, oh my gosh, and Sheila G, you were talking about this last week, where the church had been around for over 100 years, and then this small group kind of pulled them apart. Because they couldn't have their way. And so the trick of the enemy, Dr. G, is to get in the midst of the brethren and pull them apart so that the gospel can't go forward. But we have to recognize this and be willing to work together, sacrifice together, so that the good of everyone can be raised, and that we can spread the gospel, the good news, the truth of Jesus Christ. Help me out here, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and, you know, one of the things that I see, especially in this day and time, you know, back in the day, you know, you saw where churches would come together, they would
fellowship
together, they would worship together, you know, but we're living in a time now where, and I'm talking about churches, you know, every church is trying to do their own thing. There's no more community, you know, everybody over here doing their thing, the one down here on the corner doing his thing, and it didn't matter what denomination you were. Folk would just come together. I mean, I remember coming up young in my ministry. I think I've preached in just about every kind of denominational church there was.
The
Baptist, I mean, I've done Catholic weddings. I mean, I've done a little bit of everything. And that was the way that I grew up. But as I...
Then we just lost Dr. G. See if we can get him back. Kill G, Dr. G. We can get them back on the line. He was going to make a great point, but the whole thing that when they call back, the whole thing is that we have to understand that the brethren, and as we're talking to Acts 17:10, the believers in the NIV, Acts 17:10, we have to work together for advancing the cause of Christ. We have to work together for the good of the gospel. And so we see these brethren or believers in Christ in Thessalonica working together, then we get to a place where we understand that all of us have to work together. Dr. G, I think we got you back. You back, Dr. G?
Yeah. I mean, and
yeah, you were like, making your point. Yeah,
right,
go ahead.
I mean, just like what we're doing, you know, we're hooking together. We come together for Bible study and those types
Amen.
Of things. But no, we've lost touch with what it means to come together as worshipers and as believers. When you look at that verse number 10, it says that the believers came together
mm-hmm.
for the purpose of
mm-hmm.
getting Paul and Silas out. So they were working for a cause. But we've lost, all reason of what we are supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about Christ, not about our
Amen.
Church. But we just don't seem to get it in this day and time.
Amen. That's powerful, Sheila G.
Amen. And we really see it now with the pandemic, how the opportunity is more for us to fellowship with each other, especially now. It's not like everybody has their own separate building. You know, since we've been on Zoom, we still had Women's Day, invited other churches. We still had Men's Day, invited another
mm-hmm.
church. We still had Homecoming, invited another church. But what has happened is you had some church that would be on Zoom and would just focus on theirs and not necessarily invite others, or those
mm-hmm.
that went back into the building and didn't even reach out to their members to see
right.
how they're doing. At least send, like, even though we weren't in the building, we still would send messages out or emails out to our members, even though we couldn't see them, to show the love of God. And through that, other members would talk to other members and other members would join in. So
right,
it's not about
right.
us. It's about service. And I think that's what we've lost, is that whole service and not understanding how when we come together, serve together, that's even more powerful for the cause.
Amen. Amen. And it's important not to overlook that. You know, you could run through here real quick and say, okay, they had problems in Thessalonica, and they went to Berea, but it was important to understand that the brethren, in other words, the believers, worked together, and that's what has propelled the church from the first century to the 21st century, is those ordinary believers, those ordinary people doing extraordinary things to advance the gospel so people could get saved. And so it's important to understand that, like you said, Sheila G, Dr. G, that's where we got to come together and realize it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about this church over here, but it's about Jesus. It's about the good news, about the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you can get to that and not focus on that, then what happens is one is not treated any better than the other, but everyone is working for the common cause. And again, go back to, you know, the culture of black culture, and as people were trying to get free from slavery, you had the Underground Railroad network that brought people from the South to the North. You had these people that were willing to work together to get people into a better place. You had during our time of our mom and dad, you had what was Green Book. And Green Book was a book of black entities along the highways where black people could go to eat, to have a place to sleep, to be able to have safe refuge or they're traveling across the country. And so they were all working together. You know, some places were better than other, but all of them worked together to say, hey, it's rough out here for black folks. You know, let us be a place of refuge or place of encouragement. to be able to shuttle people from one place to another, to participate, to support the community, because we know these folks don't mean us no good, and they care less about us. And so this was a place of them coming, the Black community coming together, people printing and publishing a book where you could go into a town, you can go to the city and know that you could get to this place, you could have a safe place to eat, safe place to sleep. They knew the area, and because they knew the area, they could tell you, hey, this is happening down here on such and such street. Don't go down such and such street. I know it's a shortcut, but go back through here. And once you get over here, you'll be okay. Sheila G.
Amen. And we were even like that in our neighborhoods. You know, nowadays, people don't even know their neighbors. And when we were growing up, you knew who everybody in the neighborhood. And so you had other parents watching after your kids, and the kids watch after other kids. And we would play together, be outside. You didn't have to worry about anybody snatching each other. But we would have, like, the Fairfield Knows Civic Association.
Mm-hmm.
So when that company came in, wanted to build this sand and gravel pit right across from the elementary school, the neighborhood came together and said, okay, this is going to impact all of our children. And because they came together as one unit, they were able to go up against the politicians to the point where they backed off. And to this day, that never happened. But now when you go in that area, you see townhouses. But had people not come together, it was like Millwood, Waterford, and Fairfield Knows, but everybody knew. You looked out for one another, so nobody was going to break into anybody else's house. And if you did see something that was shady, people put notice that you're being watched, and you need to settle your kids down. But now it's like my kids don't do anything wrong, and people not watching over the kids, people not coming together as a community. So now you have this whole black-on-black crime or kids shooting, and because we're not having that family reunion, that family unit, that togetherness of everyone looking out for each other.
Amen. Dr. G, it's like when we started up, like you said, the churches looked out for each other. You know, you would go and you fellowship, you participate together, and you would it was like a family, you know, and you know, Your family was welcoming my house. My house, you know, we were welcoming your house, and it was a thing. We were looking out for the community. It was that everybody was together for the struggle. But it seems like sometimes people in churches get a little bougie, and you know they get to a point where they can't remember the chicken dinners we sold to burn the mortgage. And so now everybody's, oh, we don't need chicken dinners anymore. We're such and such and such and such. But they eat as just much chicken as everybody else, Dr. G.
Amen. And Tony, you there? Yeah, you're right. Because, I mean, I grew up in a church. First Rock was my first church. And we did exactly that. We sold fish and chicken dinners to help raise money to pay the mortgage. And it was amazing how word would spread, and we would deliver, people would come, pick up. I mean, that's the way we used to be. And, you know, I heard one good thing today on the news when they found those three guys that were arrested for killing that little boy over in Landover Hill. Mm-hmm. They were saying how the mother was thanking not only the police department, the chief, but the community, because people got involved. And that's just something that we just, you know, it's like people are afraid. We will peep out the blinds, but we don't want to get involved. And none of my business, so whatever goes on over there, I'm going to stay out of it. But we have definitely gotten away from that.
Amen, amen. And so this is this type of community, this type of fellowship, this type of fever sticking together helps us get through difficult times. You talked about a young man being shot. It helps us to get through difficult times, because we understand that there are people that are concerned, whether black, white, or wherever, richer or wherever, poor, medium, middle class, people are willing to come together for what is right. And that is what missing. That's what missing, the truth, standing on truth, not going after some crazy crackpot stuff that's just going to be good for me to keep my pockets full of money. But it's going to be equitable across, you know, every religion, every race, every background, whatever your political ideology is, that it would be for the good of the people at large. And so it's important that it's brethren, that it's believers, that it's people that believe in Jesus Christ are getting together and understanding. It might be some people that don't agree with you. There might be some people that might not have your ideology. But the common good is that people who believe in God, who have been born again, that they have this ability to be able to love God, which allows them to be able to love each other. And when you have a community that loves God and loves each other, then it works for the whole community. But the trick of the enemy is to keep us divided and fighting each other, pointing fingers at each other. Like you said, Sheila G., black on black crime. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. G., churches against churches. Well, this church thinks they're this, or this church thinks this, or this pastor thinks this, or this choir. And then even in the church, this choir against this choir. It's a thing of division because you're being manipulated to think that you're going to miss out because of what these other folks are doing. Sheila G.
And it's, at the end of the day, it's about service and not self-service. We've become a selfish people, and if it's not to what we want or how I feel or what I want to do, I need to be up front. So it's like the whole crab syndrome, where if you've got a pot of crabs in the pot, they just climb on top of each other to see who could get to the top to try to get out of there. You know, that's one of the things that we talk about, even within our own race. It's like we step on top of each other to get to the top. But at the end of the day, if you have your moral compass, it's not about me. It's, you recognize that if we do the right thing, we can disagree without being disagreeable, but the common goal is to be service to one another, to have compassion for one another, to come together, even if we have to compromise with each other, you know, like we're looking at this bill that they're trying to pass for the infrastructure. Okay, yeah, we threw out a number of $3 trillion, but at the end of the day, we want to build roads, we want to build bridges, we want people to be able to take care of their children.
Right.
We have to come together and negotiate to get it to a medium amount, then that's fine. But then you got on the other side that are saying no just for the sake of saying no. And, you know, because I don't like you or because I want to be empowered, even though you know what I'm saying we need to do to work together to come to one page makes sense. And, you know, Pastor and I were talking before we got on Bible study, and, you know, we listened to some of the politicians' ads, I think, for the governor's race. And you'd hear them, and like, the Republican side, Youngkin, I think, he says stuff to, like, it's a half-truth. So it's like, I'm going to say what I want to say, skirt down the middle, so that so they would just lie. You're just going to lie because you want power. So, yeah, I really see this way, but I can't say it out loud because then some independents won't get in there. But once I get in there, then I'm going to do this. So it's like you're lying instead of trying to work together as a community, even if, you, like you said, you don't completely agree, but let's work together to come to common ground towards a common goal.
Amen, amen. So as we go back to Acts 17, and verse 10, and so Paul and Silas, they left Thessalonica, but the Thessalonica folk, they rout. They won't stay in power, and so they gonna hunt Paul and Silas and Timothy down because they don't want this thing that's gonna spread and take. They heard about this Jesus and this power of the gospel and his Holy Spirit that's turning the world upside down, and they're trying to fight it. They're trying to do whatever they can to stop it. It's like a force that is exposing who they are and exposing their weakness. And so they want to suppress it. And you know, that's the thing, even with voting in our country right now, in the United States, it's like, you know, the folks showed up in the election, people are brown skin, black and brown skin, and they're voting, and they're realizing they have power and they're influence. And so whatever we got to do to shut it down, to keep them from voting and getting their power, that's what we're going to do. And so those are the spirit of the Thessalonians. They said, we got to shut this thing down. So in verse 10, it says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And again, we talked about that on last week, that the Paul and Silas were consistent of going into the church or into the synagogue, not the church, but where the religious leaders were, and presenting the word, presenting the gospel. And it's important for us to be consistent in our worship, in our presenting the gospel. And in verse 11, it says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. In other words, these people were a little more reasonable. And some people, some places you can go where people are off the chain and they just, you know, they got this wild idea. But then some places they're willing to sit down and listen to reason. And you have people like that all over the place. And so as we present our gospel, as we present our message, as we go to work, as we go to school, as we're in our community, there are going to be some people that are more reasonable, and then there's going to be some people that are off the chain. But we can't stop being consistent with our message. So our message, our presenting ourselves as Christians, as believers, has to be the same in front of the Christians, has to be the same in front of the non-believers, has to be the same in front of the people that are off the chain, has to be consistent. Because everybody's watching us to see if, you know, we say we're one thing, but how are we going to act? You know, are you going to act this way in front of these people while you're in church, but then when you get to work, you act like a heathen? You know, you got to be consistent. And so and the Bereans were off the chain, and they were chasing them down to, I'm sorry, the Thessalonians were off the chain, and so they chased them down to Berea. The Bereans were more noble. The Bible calls them more noble, the thing that we have to do is we have to be consistent in our walk. We have to be consistent in our talk, and that comes through our fellowship, our relationship with God, our loving concern for one another, the brethren. And as we are consistent, as we are willing to serve, like you said, Sheila G, what happens is whether they're off the chain, whether they're more reasonable, the ultimate goal is to share the good news that they would be like those that were in chapter 16, the jailer, where the family said, what must I do to be saved? Because I see these people's character. I see that they're carrying out or demonstrating the Christ or the Jesus that they believe in. They're experiencing the power. And whether they're off the chain Thessalonians or more reasonable Bereans, both of them are unbelievers. But because of Paul and Silas's consistency, because of them consistently walking according to the word of God, because of their consistency in showing love for each other, because of their consistency demonstrating God and their message for God, that these Thessalonians who are off the chain, these Bereans who are off the chain, both unbelievers, came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. Sheila Jean. I think I lost him again. Let me see if I can get back to him. All right, I got you back, Sheila G.
Yeah, we heard everything that she said. But yeah, okay. It's, that's why you have to stand on the truth. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And what you're finding is that Thessalonica, when you are reacting on emotion, on how they feel, what they want, the power, that's why we have to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what you see in Paul and Silas. That's why they're consistent in what they're saying, and that's why the people became believers, because wherever they went, they weren't doing, it wasn't what Paul said, it wasn't what Silas said, it wasn't what Timothy said, it's what God said. This is what the scriptures are, and they were consistently saying. So what, regardless of how they felt, regardless of whether they were in jail, regardless of whether they were beaten, they stayed consistent and they trusted God and walked in faith so that when they were in those situations, God not only led them out, but he took them to that next level. And as we always say, another level, another devil. But because they were consistent in their message, it was God's word was getting stronger. More and more believers were coming on board. Whereas Thessalonica, they were all operating on emotions, so their message was inconsistent. So when you look at the two, are you going to go with the calm, the consistent, knowing that it's in the scripture, backing it up with the scripture, being honest, seeing how you trust in God, watching that faith, or are you going to go with people that are angry, hypocritical, hollering, screaming? Which one are you going to be like? Which one are you going to believe? And that's why when you see people fighting in the church, that sends the wrong message, because people are literally like, well, why am I going to be in a church? I can get all that hypocrisy out in the world. So we have to remove that hypocrisy out of the church and show love, be consistent, even when – show people how – this is how you do battle with the enemy. You know, you and I were talking earlier this week when I called you, asking you questions about fasting and praying, and you were saying that, God, we do that so that we can put our flesh under subjection, pray, communicate with God, develop that relationship so that we can do battle with the enemy without relying on our fleshly emotions.
Amen, amen. And then, Dr. G. Keith, I thought about you when I was studying this verse 11 about folk not getting into the Word, and Sheila G. touched on it, is that when people are in the Word, then they can respond better. So the Thessalonians, they were just talking a good game, but the Bereans were in the Word. Let's look at verse 11. It says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul and Silas said was true. And this is Dr. G, it's like you said, we're lazy and we don't want to get into the Word of God. And so what happens is we get like the Thessalonians, and we don't like something, we get in our feelings, our emotions, but we don't check with the Word of God. But these folks got into the Word every day. And basically that's where we need to focus people's attention and say, this is what the Word said. This is not what like Sheila G said, Paul or Silas said. This is what thus said the Lord, Dr. G.
Well, you know, I was just sitting here thinking when you and Sheila were talking, in order for Paul and Silas, along with Timothy, to do what they were doing, they really had, it shows where their faith was. They were focused on what the Lord had instructed them to do. And, you know, it's a shame because when we look at Christians today, you know, sometimes I just don't know where folk are. And you touched on it a minute ago. You know, folk get in their emotions. You say something to them, you know, because they don't like it. They stop coming to church. They won't talk to you. They won't call in the prayer service. They won't call in the Bible study. And until we really, you know, we talk about wanting a closer walk, well, we need to stop talking and do it. We need to get into the time. Find some quality time. You know, we got the daily bread. Folks don't even want to read those every day. And like I've said before, folk Christians are just lazy. You know, we find everything else to do but get into that Word and have a close relationship with the Lord. And then we wonder why our lives are so jacked up.
Amen, amen. But that key is every day. They examine scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And in other words, the key is, as believers and carrying out our assignment that God has given us, carrying out the mission, where Paul and Silas and these missionary journeys, is to live the scriptures so that people can look at the scripture and say, are y'all lining up? Is this lining up with the word of God? But we don't do that, and that's where the problem is. People get in emotions, go off on these half-cocked conspiracy theories, what I feel, and I think, well, okay, I know you got some feelings, and I know you think about some stuff. But you know, try the spirit by the spirit. Let's look what the word says, and let's agree to go by what the word says. But mm-hmm. but the key there is they examine the scriptures every day, and it's important. In the King James, it says they search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And that's the key for us to being successful, is not to get caught off or going with every wind and doctrine and get led astray by every wind and doctrine that comes down the pike, but to try it by what the word of God says. And so they went into the synagogue, they poured over these scriptures and say, this is what your word says. This is what the scripture was pointing to, Jesus Christ. This is who Christ is. This is what lines up with the scripture. This is what we should believe, and put everything else in its context, so we won't get so emotional, so we won't get so caught up in our feelings, that we will have a foundational truth that we all can agree on and come back to say, okay, this is going to be our guide. This is how we're going to treat each other, that we're going to love each other, and we're going to love God. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were talking about that, as far as picking up and reading the scripture, understanding it every day, I thought about how we used to, as we were growing, we always had Sunday school. It was like you went to Sunday school, and
yeah,
you had different
yeah.
levels. Understand Sunday school, but you had to read and understand it, so you just weren't going based off what somebody said. We had vacation Bible school, so you knew every
yeah.
summer you had vacation Bible school, and they give you different ways, but again, you had to read and study it and learn the Bible stories for yourself. It may not be the exact scriptures, but now what has happened is, like Pastor said, we've gotten lazy to the point, I just want somebody to tell me. So you just tell me,
Amen.
And I'm
Amen.
And it reminds me, the analogy that I'm using from a life application is when I'm at work, and my client, I'm providing support for IT. So I'll send something out to the client, to the users, and I'll say, follow steps 1, 2, 3, 4 in writing. But I'll turn
mm-hmm.
around and get the call to say, now what am I supposed to do? Because people are too lazy
Amen.
To read. You know, and policy, or people will violate policies. It's like, well, did you look at the policy? No, but so-and-so said, and they said, so since they
right.
said, I can do that. But you're going based off what so-and-so said instead of understanding it for yourself. Now you've wasted time, you've wasted energy, and you're confused because you've been doing it the wrong way because you didn't seek it, read it, and understand it for yourself. And that's what's happened in the church, is people are too reliant on what someone says to them and taking that as gospel instead of, and it's even easier now because you can pull it up on your phone and read your devotion every day and get a commentary
mm-hmm.
and understand, but no, I'd rather you tell me. And so then they listen and fall for everything instead of going in prayer, understanding, reading the scripture, looking things up for themselves, and you'll feel it in your spirit. The more you pray, when somebody says something to you, you should have that desire to daily read those scriptures. And a lot of times you'll read one scripture 4 or 5 times and get a different interpretation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But if you're just depending on the preacher in the pulpit or somebody to say it, and you're not doing what we're doing, here it is in the word. We're giving you life application, but the life application is coming from what's in God's word.
Amen, amen. And then as we pick up on verse 12, the result. And as we study these chapters, we always start off with what's happening, you know, and it's always the enemy presents itself. You know, they got crazy Thessalonica in the beginning of chapter 17, but that just emboldened them more to keep going. And so they got some reasonable folk in Berea, beginning of chapter in verse 10, And so what happened because of their steadfastness, because of them following and setting an example of Jesus Christ, the Thessalonians, some of them became believers. And so in verse 12, now some of the Bereans become believers. So in verse 12, it says, as a result of many of them believe, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So the challenge was there, but because of their consistent message at Thessalonica, because of their consistent message and studying the scriptures, the Bereans were saved also. So you have this constant thing of there's going to be a challenge, but you continue to follow God's plan, his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and your service to God will allow the gospel to accomplish what it set out to do. But then you have a verse 13, but there's always going to be a but. And in verse 13, it says, but when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The common theme as we study these chapters is there's always going to be a challenge. There's always going to be something that's going to try to, the spirit of Antichrist, to come against the word of God, the word of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we have to be aware of this and just continuing to do what God has called us to do, what the will of God is. But it's a common thing of it's not, everybody's not going to get saved. Everybody's not going to agree, but we have to continue to go on. We have to continue to present the gospel. And as we see this common theme through all of these chapters, this is what we should be doing as the 21st century church. Sheila G. Yeah, Michelle G.
Yeah. As you were saying, this is a spiritual warfare. And as we've continued to talk about that, once you're saved, Satan's going to come after you because his job is to prevent people from being saved. Our job is to reach and share the word of God to draw people to be saved. So we can't be discouraged through those that don't want to follow him because God gives us free will, but we're supposed to be ambassadors for him. So we should already go forward with our armor on, recognizing that the enemy is going to come at us, but we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, and we should be able to reach as many people as we can, despite the fact that the weeds are going to be there, plant the seed, move on, and this is what they're doing. They're continually planting the seed, even though there's thorns all around them, and recognize that in the end, Jesus wins, and he wins just because his word goes out, and those that are open and willing to receive it will receive it. Those
Amen.
That are hard,
Amen.
Won't. And at the end of the day, that's their personal relationship, but it's our job to put it out there and allow them, this is what God is offering. It's up to you to take it. But we can't just stop because we get in our feelings of it. We can't get discouraged. Amen. Or if we are discouraged, then we have to pray, get fueled up. That's why we have prayer service. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have church study. That's why you got to study the word daily so that you can have that armor. But we, at the end of the day, we still have to be consistent in the message about the Lord, just recognizing that the enemy is going to come at us, but we still have that victory, and we still have a job to do, which is to draw others to Christ.
Amen. 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 Let's look at verse 13. It says, but when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. And so, in other words, the believers came together again. They rallied around the word, those that were delivering the word. Timothy and Silas stayed in Berea, but they scooped Paul up and sent him away. But they left some there Timothy, and they left Silas there to continue to preach the word. And so, again, we're working together, like I was talking about the Green Book and the places where people stayed there. There were people that stayed there because they knew there would be other people, other black folk coming through that needed safe passage, safe place to stay. So this is like Paul, this is like Timothy and Silas staying there in Berea while Paul continued, and he's going to Athens. And so we have to make sure that the presence is always there. There's always someone there that's going to preach the gospel. There's others that are going to go and they're going to continue ministry. They're going to start other ministries. But the thing is to be able to have these bases where people can come in and get a good word, to get consistent word. And those that come in and have to are called to go will stay in touch. And you'll see as Paul goes to Athens, he's going to call for Silas and Timothy. But they're working together. They're working together to spread this gospel. They're touching base. They're creating relationships and fellowships. And as they go and they're standing on this common ground of the good news, as that group goes and preaches the gospel, these folks are stabilized. As this folk goes and preaches the gospel, these folks are rooted and grounded, and these folks are stable, and these folks are encouraged. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be a thing of, well, I'm just going in my little four corner, my little walls, that's how I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay here, and y'all on your own. No, it should be a thing of encouraging each other. Should be a thing of spreading this news, understanding there's going to be challenges here, there's going to be challenges there. There's always going to be a opposition, but we can work this thing together, like you were saying, Sheila Jean.
Amen. And as you were talking about that, and as we read how Paul is going and then Timothy and Silas will go afterwards, I thought about you and Pastor G's ministries where mm-hmm. you were initially in churches, you had your youth ministry, you did what you needed to do, but at one point God called you to go to the other church because he needed you at the other churches, mm-hmm. but then he's like, okay, you laid the foundation there, you started these ministries there,
right.
and everywhere you
right.
went, you left that imprint, but then God said, okay, now that you've gotten that, and I fed you more, now I want you to go to this church and be pastor. But it wasn't like he just took you from one level to the other. You went through, both of you went through various churches, had your trials and tribulations, learned to be consistent, grow stronger, understand the Lord so that he was preparing you so that you're pastoring the churches you are now. So it's the same type of thing where they had to, as they went, they were laying the foundation, but God continued to take them to the next level. So they didn't just stay in one spot. And that's what's happening with you and Pastor, is that you just, wherever you went, even when you go back to some of those churches, people
mm-hmm,
that remember
mm-hmm.
when welcome you with open arms and are happy to see you because you had laid those seeds and God just took you to the next level.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I was sitting there thinking about what you and Shuk were saying, and that reminds me of what we did this year for the month of August. Shuk and I were able to get away, take that month off, but we mm-hmm. left Vita and Jessica here to continue on. I had preachers to come in every Sunday to preach the word, but they carried on the service. And the preacher that was there the last Sunday commented and commended them that even in our absence, you know,
amen.
And that's what we have to do. We have to continue to teach people and preach to people. And folk have to be willing to step up and help to carry the load, whether the leader is there or not.
Amen, amen. Powerful stuff. And we're going to hit verse 15. I'll talk about verse 15 real quick. And so in verse 15, back in the NIV, Acts 17:15, it said, those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Again, this continuity. Again, this instruction. But I found out, and I'm a metal a little bit here, Sheila G. Folks don't like to follow instructions.
That's what I was talking about, even at work, right?
And I don't care where you go. It's folks don't want to follow instructions.
Right.
But in verse 15 in the NIV, I mean, in King James, it's a little more a commandment. In verse 15, it says in the King James, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens and received a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed. They departed. In other words, folks don't want to be told anything. They don't want a commandment. It's okay. It's not a commandment. It's instruction. They don't want to hear a command. They don't want to hear instruction. I don't know what it is, but this is another area where we have to pray and be consistent with the word of God to understand that we're not just saying this in all my secular job. I tell people, I'm not just telling you this, just
right.
telling you. I'm telling you this for your benefit.
Right.
it's like these are the things that's going to help you. These are the tools, and as the HR jargon says, these are the tools that are going to help you be successful in what you do. I'm giving you the
right.
tools necessary for you to be successful, but you have to follow the instructions on how to use the tools.
Exactly.
But I find more and more people don't want to hear a command. They don't want to hear instructions. But they want to be successful.
Yep.
But you can't be successful if you don't follow the command and the instructions.
Exactly.
Sheila G, I'm meddling. I'm going to let you finish up. Go ahead.
But, yeah, that's what I was talking about when you say, okay, here's the instructions. You need to follow 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But they're like, well, why can't I just do 1 and 5? And then they'll do 1 and 5, and then because they skipped steps, it's all messed up, so then it takes that much longer to fix it. It's just follow the instructions. There is a reason. You may not understand it. It may not make sense to you, but there is a reason why you have to do it the way that you're supposed to do it. Just do it. When you get to the end, you'll understand. You know, I have a saying now that I always say is we live forward and understand backwards. Because if you just do it, just follow the instructions, when you get to that end, when you get to that destination,
mm-hmm.
you will understand, oh, this is why I had to do it this way.
Amen, amen. We're going to go to the phone line, and we're going to ask the question about following the instructions of God, following the instructions of God. How important is it to follow the instructions of God? We're going to go to our first caller, last 4 digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's super important. You know, I remember years ago, people had so many acronyms for the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. So the Bible is the guide. The Ten Commandments are the guide. And I think that we've seen so many stories and things of people in the Bible not following instructions, wanting to do it their own way, and then they ultimately end up finding out where that gets them or how far it gets them. But it's tough. You know, we're human. You know, sometimes we feel that the Bible really isn't, you know, because think about it. This book was written thousands and thousands of
mm-hmm.
years ago,
mm-hmm.
and some of us think, like, well, how does this apply to me now in the 21st century, 22nd century? Like, how am I going to apply what's in here, or these things don't really apply to me? But I think when you realize and study the word and have a relationship with God, you realize, like, man, not only does it apply to me, but I can actually relate to some of the characters in the Bible. I've been in these
right.
situations. I've
right.
had
right.
these things
right.
happen to me. But again, you have to have that relationship with Christ, because following instructions from your parents was never easy. But as a kid, you had to be raised. You had to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I've been smacked on my bottom, crossed my face many a time. I have no shame in it. But guess what? I'm glad I had a mother and father that believed in discipline and believed in, hey, if you're not following instructions, there's consequences for your actions. And just like God the Father, you know, we're his children. God loves us. We anger God when we don't follow the instructions. But then when you realize, like, man, if I'd have just did this, I would even
Amen.
Have myself all
Amen.
Twisted up trying to do it my way. How much further along would I have what I have been, but I think sometimes it's just so difficult because the situations are different. It's like, God, if I could just only go through things that I know I can handle and are easy, I could follow your instructions all day long. But it's when you start dealing with real difficult situations where nobody's really there for you or it's something that's foreign to you, you can't help but at least have it cross your mind that you want to try to handle it your way or do it and not do it God's way. But understand that when we talk about following the instructions of God, you got to be patient. We're so quick to want things to happen now and want things and not have to go through things for a certain period of time. We think like, well, if we follow God, we got to play this waiting game. And when God wants to finally get us out of a situation or God wants to finally bless us, and we don't have that patience. And that's what it takes to follow God's instruction. And I know everybody's different, but for me, I just got tired of bumping my head up against the wall. I just say, you know what, God, I surrender all to you. I don't understand. I don't get it, but I'm going to follow your instructions. Look, and following instructions, it's not meant to be easy. So don't think that when you get to some heightened level of Christianity, it's going to be super easy to follow God's instructions. It's like, even though it may be difficult, you still know right from wrong. Nobody's oblivious to God's instruction. Nobody ever said they didn't know. We have a choice. We know what following God's instructions are, but guess what? We choose to do otherwise, choose to not do what God does because we think that our way is a better way, or we get caught up, I think one of you said it, in our emotions and our feelings, and we just react without thinking and say, hold on, let me pray. Let me slow down real quick. I know I'm filled with emotion, but let me just stop for a minute because this isn't the way, even though it may feel right and it may feel good, but long term, this is not going to benefit me. But again, you have to practice patience. But most importantly, you got to have a relationship with God, because if you don't have a relationship with God, guess what? You ain't even going to know the instructions. How you going to know the instructions if you don't read the Bible? How you going to know the instructions if you whatever? So some people, I take it back, some people probably don't even know the instructions because you don't have a relationship with Christ. You probably can't even find a Bible unless you're in a hotel room back in the day where you could open up the drawer in the hotel room and be a Bible in there. That's probably the only time. Or look, what is it? Or you driving in a car and it's in the back window in the thing back there, flying across the back of the window thing when you're making left turns and right turns. Some people can't find the book of instructions. So you got to have a relationship with Christ and you got to be patient. I'm working on patience every day, but it's super important to follow instructions. God is giving us the guide to get through this life. And this life can be terrible. This life can be difficult. This life can be so many things. But it's like, why not just listen to God? He's giving us the answers. He's prepping us. He's giving us the tools for success. But again, what good is a tool if you don't know how to wield it? What good is a tool if you don't know how to use it? You know what I'm saying? And you got to study in order to know how to use those tools and use those resources, i.e. the instruction that God gives. But it's super important because guess what? You can't act without reading the instructions first, because the instructions tell you do this. This is what you got to do. Right. So before you react, refer to the instructions. It's like what is it like the instructions you get when you get a vacuum cleaner, you get something, what do? We toss the instructions.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to look on the side of the box. I could put this together. And then you realize before I touch anything, let me open up this pamphlet, this half Spanish, half English, turn it upside down.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me read first before I do anything. And I think sometimes we're so quick to act physically and say, wait a minute, this is out of order. I got to read first before I do anything. Let me read first. Then reading the instructions will give me the method. It will give me the action that I need to now move forward and to put things in motion. But we don't have that patience. But again, it is truly, truly important to basically follow the instructions of God, because it will make our life so much easier in a world that can be so chaotic at times. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your caller tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 3343. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I don't know why that it's so hard for little boys to be such a hard head. They grow up, they come up more driven being hard head. And I had a problem with my mama. My mama tell me one thing and I do something the opposite. But my grandmama tell me to do something, I better do it and get it straight and on the nets on the road all the time. And I don't know why it's such a hard time for little boys that just don't listen. We have a hard time coming up growing. We get grown. And every problem we have is somebody done told us something to do something that was older than me and been there before we got there. And we just don't listen. My last stroke, I didn't listen. And I was told something that grandmama had told me all the time, and I was reminded what she had told me. But hard head still come out getting something wrong and getting in trouble. And it just has been a long time that we little boy just got to be hard headed. I don't know if it's in his pants or down his feet or whatever he's coming, but he is hard headed. He just would not listen. Little girls nowadays are getting just like little boys used to be. You can't tell little girls or not. She's just hard headed and stubborn. As, I don't know what they say, a jackass is stubborn, but she's harder headed as a jackass. Honest God, but that's the truth. I hate to say it, but that we just can't tell little girls nothing today. And little boys be coming, I was coming, they couldn't tell them nothing. But grandma, you see, said something, do something, you better do it. And you better get it straight and get it right. Otherwise, you get hit all the bottom part of your skin, the devil. Mama could say something, it didn't bother. But I've learned to stay with the Bible, whatever it say, do, that's what I do. I'm not got too old to be getting in trouble no more. That's all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. For me, since I've been on this journey and I'm serious about the Lord, I'm serious about my outcome, about being and having everlasting life, it's no problem for me to follow what God tells me because, you see, he knows what's going to happen already. So he's telling me something to do it for my benefit. And in these my later years, it's very important that you listen and follow the instructions of God because I'm serious, like I said. I want to love him, trust him, and I will wait on him and I will obey him. So, like I said, he can see what I can't see, all of us. He can see what all of us see, what we all can see. He knows what's ahead. He's the only one that knows what's ahead. So
that's right.
It's very important for me to do that. And that's what I do every morning when I ask him to help me, lead, and guide me and direct me. And it's up to me to do what I know is the best thing that God has already told me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller, last four digits, 0072. 0072. Good evening. All right, you must be listening in. Well, Sheila G, going to do it for us tonight. Any final comments and want to close us out in prayer, please?
Yes, sir. The final comment is let us all pray and follow the instructions in God from God, lead, guide, and direct our paths and recognize that road is going to be bumpy, but as long as we focus on the Lord, we can get through it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to see and study your word, Lord, scripture by scripture, so that we can take what has happened within the Bible in the first century church and apply it to our lives in the 21st century, Lord. I pray for each and every one of us that we will continue to allow you to lead, guide, and direct our paths regardless of what obstacles come our way. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.